fil-fuq il-50 sena tal-Allianz Franċiż f'Malta, Campus FM tippreżenta. Sans façon. Elf sena ta' rabta franċiża ma' Malta. Għadda buħran di pjaċir nil-għakum għal-programmi ħor fil-sensila Sanfason. Sanfason hija sensila li kif għadna bħalissa ħafna mill-programmi tal-Campus FM ikunu waslu biex jintemmu u tibda skeda ġdida, imma Sanfason se tissokta u għalhekk għandna sal-aħħar ta' Jannar jekk iżervina. Imma il-kelma ġipek nippruvaw li nżommuh fl-erba' xhur li ġejjin ħalli nkun ukoll focused kif ngħidu bl-Ingliż ikollu ikun iffukat ħafna fil-dak l-istudju li qegħdin waslulkom. Importanti ħafna wkoll naħseb li Sanfason sab kixef skopra xi ħaġa aspett oriġinali. Ngħid aspett oriġinali l-ewwel qed għaliex ma jidhirlix li fix-xandir qatt intmess dan is-suġġett. Fil-pubbliku jkolli ngħid ma tantx intmess dan is-suġġett, is-suġġett intmess abbastanza fil-dik li hija l-kamp akademiku u għal aħar is-sleħ, għaliex l-akkademja kif ngħidu dejjem tfittex il-verità, tfittex ir-riċerka. Imma mill-banda l-oħra naħseb bħala argument il-pajjiż illum għall-avolja 45 sena qegħdin nitkellmu issa fl-2009 l-aħħar jiem ta' Settembru, l-istess pajjiż għall-avolja ilu li ħal indipendenza 45 sena imma ixu għadu m'għandux il-kuraġġ jew ma jkollux il-kuraġġ il-ħin kollu jew mhux kulħadd għandu il-kuraġġ jiġi wiċċin b'wiċċ jiffaċċja il-verità tal-istorja jew il-kapaċità tal-analiżi tal-istorja jew l-eżami ta' missierijietna meta b'kuraġġ kbir dejjem riedu jieħdu xi deċiżjoni f'ħajjithom ġieli mmexxija mill-barranin, ġieli sfurzati kważi mill-barranin u ġieli forsi mnebħa mill-barranin. U ġieli għal interessi nazzjonali, u ġieli wkoll bħal ma tiġri fid-dinja ankellhom għal interessi iktar personali anqas eroiċi u iktar kummerċjali ta' familja, ta' klen, ta' grupp, ta' sezzjoni mis-soċjetà. Daw l-affarijiet jiġru llum fil-politika, rajnihom anke fl-Istati Uniti kemm pereżempju iż-żejt u l-interessi tal-kummerċ tal-armi u l-beħ tal-armi kien imexxi l-familja ta' Bush. Dana ma naħsibx li huwa segret iżjed u jekk illum fl-2009 hemm president ieħor probabbli jew ukoll forza ta' dak l-argument, imma dik l-istorja hija riċenti u għalhekk wieħed janalizza fil-futur mhux aħna l-Maltin imma l-Amerikani stess kif diġà qegħdin jagħmlu. Ma għalina huwa dover ta' kull pajjiż indipendenti qed nitkellem hekk għax Settembru wieħed jiċċelebra wkoll il-festa t-tifkira tal-indipendenza. U tajjeb li f'dak iż-żmien tal-indipendenza ta' Malta fis-snin 60, flimkien ma' xi 60 pajjiż ieħor li kienu parti mill-Imperu Ingliż, Malta sabet ruħa tom għar-rasa biex ngħidu hekk. U għalhekk biex issibli lek innifsek biex aħna nagħmlu dak it-taħriġ jissejjaħ postkoloniali, jiġifieri insibu lil nfusna, hemm bżonn li niffaċċjaw il-verità kolla. U biex tiffaċċja kolla tittaqbad periodi bħalma minna f'din is-sensi law qed nagħmlu bħal Sanfason jiġifieri li nħarsu lej Franza li kien pajjiż ieħor li forsi taħt l-Ingliżi b'ħafna ċirkostanzi li ġbajna nispjegaw il-Franċiżi poġġewhom f'daw l-ikraħ. U meta ngħidu Franċiżi għal dawk ikolli nirrepeti għal dawk li forsi ma jkunux jisegwu s-sensila kollha, wieħed tajjeb jgħid li l-Franċiżi mhumiex is-sentej li ġew biss soldati ta' Bonaparti u l-ġeneral Vaubois, imma huma wkoll is-snin kollha mijiet ta' snin kważi 300 sena ta' influenza qawwija Franċiża fil-Mediterran, ta' influenza qawwija kbira fl-ordni tal-Kavalliri ta' Malta, biżejjed li wieħed jgħid kif se ngħidu anke llum mal-professur Alan Blondi u hemm huwa l-mistieden ġdid tagħna li aktar minn nofshom il-professuri kollha li ġew hawnhekk jgħiduha aktar minn nofs il-Kavalliri kienu Franċiżi ma tistax tevita li tiġi influenzat minn dak il-pajjiż, minn dik il-kultura, minn dik l-istorja ta' Franza. L-istorja ta' Franza u l-istorja ta' Malta għal kważi 300 sena kienet rib ħafna. L-aktar kulħadd jgħidha ċar mingħajr tlaqliq fis-seklu 18 li aħna bħalissa qed nifukaw fuq qabel ma ngħaddu għall-perjodu ta' Bonaparti u waraħ għall-perjodu tal-Ingliżi li bqajna marbutin mal-Franċiżi permezz tal-Afrika ta' fuq fejn marru ħafna immigranti Maltin. Illum il-Professur Brondi li huwa persuna li m'hemmx għalfejn ngħidu huwa awtorità fuq l-epoka tal-Kavalliri. Jena nintervista ħafna nies u kif tafu nitaqgħu ħafna nies u nagħmel riċerka jien ukoll u insib il-kapaċità tal-għarfien tiegħu ta' dawk li huma ħwejjeġ tal-Kavalliri, speċjalment b'relazzjoni ma' Franza għalhom Blondi huwa Franċiż, u allura kważi kważi hija naturali, imma il-mod kif ir-riċerka l-arkivi li għandna f'Malta, il-mod kif huwa r-riċerka min-naħa ta' Franza arkivi li għandhom x'jaqsmu ma' Malta. U il-mod kif mexxa anki studenti oħra l-aktar Franċiżi biex jagħmlu riċerka fuq Malta u relazzjonijiet ma' Franza, naħseb wieħed irid ineħħilu l-kappell u jgħid dan huwa ta' bilħaq professur tal-affarijiet tiegħu. Jixed dan kollu hija l-pubblikazzjoni. Dan għandu qatt ta' pubblikazzjonijiet, numru kbir biżejjed titħlu fl-internet u tiktbu Alain Blondi, Alain bħal Alan imma blajiex vera ALAIN Blondi bil-Y fl-aħħar biex itellawlkom lista ta' pubblikazzjonijiet, mhux wieħed u tnejn u ħamsa, imma lista. U ħafna minnhom jirriflettu riċerka twila, paċenzjuża, xi wħud deskrittiva biss, jiġifieri bħal wieħed li kien jismu Boyer u kien iwassal ħafna ajdut lill-barranin fuq Franza li għandhom x'jaqsmu ma' Malta u li kellu sem fis-seklu 18 abbastanza interessanti fi żmien il-Kavalliri, imma jikteb anke pereżempju fuq l-Arinċ. Illum il-ktieb hija bl-Ingliż ukoll, il-kummerċ tal-Arinċ minn Malta. U dan il-ktieb kemm bl-Ingliż u kemm bil-Franċiż isib l-De Savoie li mhux biss għen biex l-Arinġa Maltija, l-Arinġa tad-demm sabiħa Maltija, issi xi ħaġa fid-dinja mfiċċa, fid-dinja kollha tal-Punent mfiċċa, ma saħan sitra nsibu il-Marie Antoinette, il-Reġina, il-Mara ta' il-Wiġi 16, it-tnejn il-furasom taħt il-Giljottina mbagħad li tinsisti li mhux biss taslilha l-Arinġa ta' Malta ma tagħti istruzzjonijiet riġidi ħafna mingħand ir-Reġina tista' timmaġina jekk ma ssegwihomx daw titlef rasek kif l-Arinġ jaslilha frisk. Jaslilha malajr, għax bil-baħar minn hawn sa Marsilja u mbagħad bil-karozzella l fuq fis-seklu 18 qed ngħidu 200 sen ilu. U l-Arinġa ta' Malta, għadnija kemm il-darba naħseb fuq dan il-mikrofonu, għadha magħrufa tal-lum. Għaliex il-Maltin li emigraw lejn Tuniżija lejn l-Alġerija ħadu s-siġar tal-Arinġ ta' Malta, il-famuż. U baqgħu sal-ġurnata tal-lum ġo Franza jibagħtu dan il-Arinġ imsejjaħ il-Arinġ ta' Malta. L-Zuħanġ di Malt. U jekk tkunu Franza, Pariġi, meta ikun hemm dan il-bieħ meta jasal il-Arinġ frisk mit-Tuniżija imsejjaħ ta' Malta, taraw l-avviżi. L-avviżi għandha l-ħaxix, għandha s-supermarket. Qed jiftaħru l-Arinġa ta' Malta waslet. Bħalma aħna hawnhekk nifirħu xi kultant meta jasal xi inbit partikulari minn Franza u ngħidu f'Novembru l-inbit wasal. U għalhekk interessanti, li l-istudju tal-istorja kollha mill-asa z-zeta bid-dokumenti u referenzi kollha meħtieġa ta' dan l-avveniment li għadu jtina ġieħ sal-lum f'belt kbira bħalma hija Pariġi, nafuh lill-Alain Blondi, li huwa mistieden tagħna llum. Għalhekk naħseb miegħi se teħdu gost tisimgħu, l-intervista hija bl-Ingliż, ħalli wieħed isegwiha aħjar, imoqdu attenti għax huwa jitkellem għandu l-kapaċità mhux biss jagħti l-istorja, imma jagħti wkoll jew analisi, jew kummenti tiegħu, jew jispekula xi ftit u jgħidlek addirittura li da kollu li huwa sab juri dik l-opinjoni li għandu llum. Dibattibbli dejjem tista' tkun kontroversjali u wieħed jista' jeliba fatti oħra, imma fija peace u peace serjissimu. Waħda żgħira qabel ma mmorru hija li biżejjed ngħidu li dawn l-avvenimenti kollha kienu qed jiġru Malta speċjalment madwar il-port il-kbir u l-Belt Valletta fuq kollox kienet mhux biss kapitali is-Safera ta' Malta, imma kienu jgħixu fija matul is-seklu 18 madwar 60,000 fruħ. Li mhijiex ċajta għaliex 60,000 illum madwar il-Belt, jiġifieri qed ngħidu il-Belt Valletta trid tiġbor il-Belt tal-Port kollha sewwa, imma 60,000 kienu dak iż-żmien ftit aktar minn nofs il-popolazzjoni ta' Malta. U kienet ħaġa sabiħa li fl-ibliet tal-Port taħt il-kappa tal-Belt Valletta kien hemm dawk in-nies kollha. Immaġinaw ħafna minnhom jew impjegati tal-Gran Mastru jew inkella biżla jagħmlu kummerċ. Biżla jitilgħu fuq ix-xwieni deħlin u ħirġin bl-affarijiet bit-tabijiet bil-merkanzija. Immaġinaw kemm kien hemm biex ngħidu hekk attività portwali, merkantili, daqshekk ricca, daqshekk sabiħa. Xi żmien sabiħ kien ukoll għal Malta u l-Maltin tal-bliet madwar il-port. U allura x'doċċa kiesħa kienu ħadu meta f'daqqa waħda il-pajjiż jittrasforma ruħu bħala fortizza tonfuċ l-ilma biex isservi imperu ieħor li mhux l-istess wieħed li kienu qegħdin iservu. Naħseb dak ix-xokk huwa xokk kulturali, huwa xokk psikoloġiku. U miegħu se tiżdied il-politika, niftakru il-professur Henry Frendo li għad ikun fl-student tagħna wkoll fuq il-perjodu biex ngħidlek issa iktar tard anke tal-emigrazzjoni l-Afrika ta' fuq. Isemmih kemm il-darba fir-riċerki li waslilna wkoll kemm il-darba saru petizzjonijiet lis-sidien il-ġodda biex ngħidu hekk tal-gżira ħalli jilmentaw mid-drittijiet li ħassew li kienu tilfu meta kienu għadhom kemm ġew l-Ingliżi. U għalhekk tajjeb li wieħed jibda jara u janalizza l-perjodi kollha. Ma jfissirx taħt l-Ingliżi Malta ma għamlitx avvanzi oħra biżejjed niċċelebraw ukoll f'Settembru ir-rebħ tat-tieni gwerra dinjija ukoll bid-dibattiti interessanti li jistgħu joħorġu minnha jekk Malta kellix tkun daqshekk attakkata fil-gwerra li kieku ma kienx pereżempju parti mill-alleati jew parti mill-Ingilterra, imma dawk jibqgħu mistoqsijiet li ma jnaqsu xejn mill-kuraġġ u mill-kapaċità u mill-ħila u mill-bravuri ta' missieriedna. U għalhekk dawk jagħmluna Maltin. Neqgħu hawnhekk u ngħaddikom għall-professur Alain Blondy. As explained in the start of the program, today with us we have Professor Alain Blondy, who, as I have already explained, is an authority not only on the 18th century because of the very book Lord de Malte au XVIIIe siècle, but also because he himself, as professor of history both in Malta and Sorbonne, studied and researched and published all the time about the period of the Knights in particular. Also because you are 50% based in Malta, so it comes easier to have access to all your research in Malta. And I also must thank you, once you are here, for the encouragement to other students of yours, even French ones, whom you encourage to study and research in Malta.
Absolutely.
Because that has made Malta, mm-hmm. you know, stronger in French eyes and international fora of research. This series is about French influence in Malta. Would you say that when the Knights came to Malta in 1530, there was a semblance of French influence in Malta or practically none?
No, practically none, because in 1530, France was at the time with a civil war, a very important civil war, the Guerre de Religion. So France has disappeared from the Mediterranean. So at the time, Mediterranean was totally Spanish, Spaniards.
This is the 16th century?
Yes, the end of the 16th century, yes. So Spain was the first power in the world at the time, because the king of Spain was also the emperor. He was the king of the Indies. So Charles V was very, very important. It was just after the end of the Civil War in France, so when Henry IV became king, so it's 1589, it was the beginning of a new civil peace and the revival of trade in France. So at that time, Henry IV decided to encourage the trade in the Mediterranean. He sent good ambassador, Savary de Breve, to the Sultan, and also to the Dey of Tripoli, and the Dey of Algiers, and the Dey of Tunis. And also, he managed to have an influence in the order. So, the French influence in the order was not launched by the King of France, but by the Pope. It was the Pope who decided, because Gregor XV, yes, was against Philip II, who was more Catholic than the Pope, and he tried to give Malta, to give another influence in Malta, and made the election, he made the election of Verdala, because he designed the candidate. You have to vote for him.
Manipulated.
Absolutely. Oh, no manipulation, order.
Direct order.
Absolutely, you have to vote for him. So he was elected, and it was the beginning of the French rule in Malta, because Verdala was very clever. He organized a school of administrators. So he had young commanders, Alof de Wignacourt, Paul de Lascaris Castellar, François de Paul, and so on, and they were the pupils of Verdala. And all the other grandmasters, after Verdal, except Garcés, were French, and they were those pupils of Verdal. So the beginning of the French influence, political influence, is at that time, at the beginning of the 17th century. So Wignacourt was the most important, Lascaris Castellar also. So the French influence began at that time, but it's a political influence, it's a military influence, but not an economical influence. And because at that time the order was both a military order struggling against the Ottomans, well, more or less, because it was the barbaresque, and then also it was an order of corsairs. So many French sailors came from Provence, from Marseille, and became sailors and became corsairs in Malta. So the glorious age of Malta, the military order and the military age, was the 16th and the beginning or the mid 17th century. At that time, Louis XIV has decided to have a more important economical presence in Mediterranean, and he wanted to stop the Corso. So he sent...
Because it was disrupting the absolutely. Projected commerce. Mostly.
So he sent the French fleet against Tripoli in 1680, then against Tunis, 1681 and 82, and against Algiers, 1684-88. A war during 4 years. And all the corsairs disappeared. Not totally, but
diminished.
Diminished. And he also wrote a letter to Perelios, you have to stop the counter corso. So the Christian corso. And suddenly the order had nothing to do. But not only nothing to do, but no mean for
the income from the corso stopped.
So they have to find something else. And it was at the time that a French knight called Sébastien de Choiseul, he belonged to the family who became very important in France after. So Sébastien de Choiseul wrote 4 letters to the Grand Master, Zondadari and Villiers. Zondadari was ruling only 2 years. And he told to the Grand Master what could be interesting would be to make Malta a free port. So he wrote, Malta has no production except stone. So Malta has to buy everything outside, he wrote. If we sell what we are producing, we are losing our production. So we have not to sell, so we have to put taxes on what we produce. And if we buy too many things, we will become poor. So we have to put high taxes on what we buy. But what is interesting is to put a very low tax on what is carried in Malta.
Exactly. Transported from one country to another.
And then transported to another country.
It's like import-export. It's
absolutely.
A free port.
A free port. Actually. So Malta became a free port. It's the pragmatic sanction of Vienna, 1723, and it was the beginning of the wealth of Malta. At that time, the French traders from Marseille, principally, came in Malta and had warehouses everywhere in Malta, moreover in Valletta and in the three cities. They were not the three cities at the time, but the three cities.
Like Pinto Wharf, for example.
No, Pinto Wharfs were built on this purpose, because they were warehouses everywhere. And so in 1754, I think, Pinto decided to build these warehouses in the Grand Harbour for
this particular purpose.
Absolutely. At the time, Malta was a free port, but also an avant-port of Marseille.
That's right.
So you had in Malta, living in the area of the Grand Harbour, an important French colony.
Like a satellite, so to speak.
Yes, so it was the family, the Pusielg family,
exactly,
the Isoire family, the Lot family.
These are the businessmen who were...
Yes, they were businessmen from Marseille, but they were also family who had consuls in all the Mediterranean. So they were, you know, civil servants and traders.
Yes, it became a network.
It was a network. It was a network between Algiers and Izmir, between Constantinople and Tripoli. It was a real French network of traders. But at that time, you know, there was, it is a bit difficult because it is called in French droit d'aubaine and in English right of escheat. Ah. So what's the right of escheat? If you are a foreigner living in a country, you can have the same rights as the other citizens. But when you die, all what you belong goes to the sovereign,
to the sovereign.
So not to your son or daughter.
To your family, not to your family.
So this was the right of escheat.
It's like an inheritance which goes to the sovereign.
Yes, yes. You know, the word in French is the people who are not from the country are foreign.
Uh-huh.
And the English, you know that English is only French but badly pronounced.
Yes.
Made foreign. For foreign, it's foreign.
Exactly.
So they were foreigners. Those foreigners. So these French decided to become Maltese. So they married.
So that their inheritance will stay in the family.
They married Maltese girls, Schwereb for Isoire, Formosa for De Fremo, and
exactly.
So on, you know. And so they became Maltese, but speaking French and Italian, and thinking French.
This is how France came
absolutely,
even more
yes.
present in Malta.
And in the 18th century, the Pusielg family was very important. It was the main family in Malta. Pusielg was the banker of the order. He was the captain of the port. He was the consul of all the countries trading in Mediterranean. So he was the richest man in Malta. Isoire was not really a rich man. He was employed by the Chamber of Commerce of Marseille. But he was very important. And another family was Formosa de Fremo and Lot. Lot in French, L-H-O-T-E, but in Maltese, L-O-T-T. So they became very important. And they were also up to date because they read the French philosophers and so on.
Exactly.
So at the end of the 18th century, they became the spearhead of the new ideas. And Napoleon Bonaparte was tempting to make them
the leaders,
the leaders of the Maltese Revolution.
The representatives.
So they didn't
of the
want
Maltese.
To do it because they had money, you know.
Exactly.
So when the French arrived, when they succeeded to
when Bonaparte's army, that is,
absolutely in 1798, succeeded to catch away the order, so they became the most important civil servant in Malta.
Because Malta became French then. Officially.
Malta became officially French. So Lot, for example, was one of the mayors. He was killed during the Maltese Revolution. Pusielg was the banker and the chairman of the Biens Nationaux, so all what was belonging to the state, the French state. Poussiel Ezouard became very important. He was the trader, the father, Fortunato. Niccolò became the composer and the director of the theater in Malta.
Yes.
The father was trading wheat, you know, between Algiers and the revolutionary armies in France. So they were very important at that time.
Yeah.
And when the English came, the first thing they did, you know, but not the English, the Maltese, because some Maltese family were jealous of them.
Exactly. I was going to tell you there was competition.
For example, Caruana family of Saverio Caruana, who became after the Bishop of Malta, Caruana was a cotton manufacturer. So he wanted to have
an interest.
Absolutely, an interest. So they became English, pro-English.
To push out the French.
Absolutely.
And therefore, these French families, which you mentioned now, most probably all left with the refugees in 1800.
Absolutely. But
like Eugène Fenech, for example,
yes,
who went
yes.
to the army.
To the army, yes. But
you have a list in this book
yes.
Of all these people.
But Poussiel was very rich, so he became very important in Paris. He opened a library, and he died a few years after. His widow became the chairman of the library. They had a daughter who married a certain Mr. Plon, and it's the beginning of the edition, the Plon edition.
Still famous.
Yeah, absolutely.
His wife was not so lucky, Niccolò, for example.
Because Niccolò was, no, he was lucky.
He became important.
He became important because he was a composer, but his family became important.
I see.
You find his brother, for example, till the Second Empire. So one of his brother was inspector of culture in Rouen, during Napoleon III, but they had always girls, so the name disappeared.
Niccolò had two girls at least.
Yes,
one of them is a composer, right,
yes,
as well.
Yes. Okay, so.
But unfortunately, music-wise, I think, although his bust is in the Opéra de Paris, yet he was a bit disillusioned towards the end of his career.
But the problem
before he died.
Yes, because it was politic, you know. It was pro Bonaparte, pro Napoleon. And in 1814, when Louis
he fell with him.
When Louis the 18th came back on the throne, Isouard left, and Boieldieu became very important. So
that's right.
And he died in 1818, 4 years after.
Uh-huh.
Don't imagine that the French were expelled from Malta when the English arrived, because we find in the archives that the English treated with the French family now in Marseille to make trade with Algiers, Tunis,
to
and
keep the business.
So the business was still in the hands of the French, even when the English were there.
But was it still coming from Marseille, or was it diverted to other ports?
No, the English, for example, wrote to Isouard family in Marseille, and the Isouard family had links with Algiers, Tunis, and Tripoli.
Sans façon. Illum il-professur Franċiż Alain Blondi, li huwa mis-Sorbonne u għadha l-Università ta' Malta, riċerkatur u awtur ta' diversi riċerki fuq il-perjodi tal-epoka tal-Kavalliri ta' Malta, e għatmana jaqsam il-riċerka tiegħu fuq l-influenzi Franċiżi fi żmien il-Kavalliri f'Malta. Komplu simgħu sans façon. Well, you
yes.
mentioned the political. What about the cultural? I mean, with all these families in Malta, the French families in Malta, with all the Maltese involved with them, not only through marriage, but sometimes also through work, because they provided a lot of work to other people. Would you say, you just mentioned that these French families kept up to date by reading the Philosophe and the rest of the books. We have the public library
yes.
in Valletta as evidence of all this. Would you say that there were other things culturally which the French were leaving on the Maltese? I know that a lot of them had French chefs, for example, in Valletta. We know also that the system of budgeting, finance, with all those French grandmasters, must have been influenced also. Did it influence the Maltese as such, especially around the Grand Harbour?
What you have also, it's shopkeepers. So they are not very important like those traders who
not
are
not the big money makers.
No. But you have small shopkeepers, and for example I discovered in the archives of the notarial archives all the correspondence of a lady, for a woman, who was French, Thérèse Covin, and she had a shop just in front of Saint John in Valletta. and she sold everything from Paris, cards, swords, ribbons.
Yes, like a Paris mode.
Absolutely. Yeah,
there was a shop in Merchant Street until recently, still called Paris mode.
Yes, the fashion of Paris came here, and the ladies, the Maltese ladies, but also the knights and the high-level people in Brandenburg area could buy what was important in Paris or in Versailles at that time. So
it was fashionable.
Absolutely.
To follow the fashions in Paris.
Absolutely, yes.
So that is cultural, obviously.
But even handkerchiefs, for example, gloves and kerchiefs, because handkerchiefs was very important at that time. They were robbers, especially in handkerchiefs, only handkerchiefs, because they were very expensive, and they came from Cholet. Cholet, it's a small town in the west of France, very well known for its handkerchiefs. So they were coming from there. The gloves were coming from Nîmes. This lady sold them smaller things than theirs. But, you know, French influence was not very direct, but it was...
Sans façon.
Exactly, because the knights were French, because the wealth people were from French origin, so the French taste was very important in Malta. But there is not really a direct influence in Malta, there is no. But the Maltese were used to live according the French taste at the time.
So it was something you look forward to doing.
Absolutely.
You want to do it, desirable.
Yeah,
did it help that the order itself was Francized in a way, because at least it had three auberges, which belonged to the land of France, Auvergne, France, Provence. Did that help the French rulers, like Louis XIV and the rest, to have more direct influence on them, because practically the order was half French?
Yes, half of the knights were French, but the problem is more important. During the 17th century, Spain has totally disappeared. So it's a power of second rank. England is not yet an important power, and Russia will arrive only at the end of the 18th century. So France is the only important power. And the order needed France in its struggle against the Sultan. And after the end of the 17th century, at the beginning of the 18th century, all the western part of the Mediterranean belongs to the family of the Bourbon. Spain was a Bourbon, France was a Bourbon, Parma was a Bourbon, and Naples and Sicily was a Bourbon. So the western basin of Mediterranean was a Bourbonic lake. Yeah. So Malta was here.
Right in the middle.
So he needed to have good relations with France. And those good relations were symbolized by the two ambassadors. The ambassador of the order in France was chosen by the king. It was always a knight, but normally he was a relative of a very important person. For example, you had Frulle de Tessé. Frulle de Tessé was the brother of one of the most important diplomats in France. Then you had Fleury, who was the nephew of the prime minister. So they were always very
influential,
tight with the French power, and they were organizing the policy of the order. Yeah. I give you an example. The Grand Master sent them letters in blank, signed by the Grand Master, at the end or in the middle of the paper. And the ambassador wrote what they wanted on the paper, signed by the Grand Master, and the Grand Master knew after that
what they wrote.
What they wrote.
And these are still in the archives in Paris.
Absolutely,
I would imagine.
So, and it was Ximenes who decided, he told, no, it's impossible. We are no longer an order. So, but this poor Ximenes, you know, ruled only 4 years, and Rohan renewed this policy. So
it was practical.
Absolutely. And at the end of the 18th century, Malta was a French protectorate. I found, for example, that it was about 1760, 1770. The French government sent a secret code of the French foreign affairs to the Grand Master, and the Grand Master had to write his secret letters with the French code. So the French services could read all the letters of the Grand Master.
very transparent.
So it was really a protectorate.
It was
a protectorate. This was the most important thing. And then when there was many problems, economical problems with Naples, with the affair of the Corona Ottomana, yes, the Grand Master needed money. And so the King of France paid everything. So after that, after 1763, Malta was no longer independent. The order was no longer independent.
It was totally French.
Totally French.
Politically, economically, practically,
yes,
and culturally.
And on the other side, the French ambassador in Malta, it was not an ambassador, it was a chargé d'affaires, was a knight, but also chosen by the king. And, you know, at the beginning, they were very important knights who had a small retirement in Malta. But after Villena, they became very important. They were chosen by the king. So we had only two important ambassadors in Malta, Ventre de Pen and Sestre Comon. So those two men were ruling, you know, explaining to the Grand Master what they had to do.
They were like governors.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Indirectly, they
absolutely
were like governors.
Yeah.
Sans façon. Illum il-professur Franċiż Alain Blondy, huwa mis-Sorbonne u anke mill-Università ta' Malta, riċerkatur u awtur ta' diversi riċerki u l-perjodi tal-epoka tal-Kavalieri ta' Malta, e qed magħna jaqsam ir-riċerka tiegħu fuq l-influenzi Franċiżi fi żmien il-Kavalieri f'Malta. Komplu simgħu sans façon.
I don't know if in this background you can also address this point. There is one thesis that says that the French were so strong in the 17th, 18th century in the Mediterranean commercially that even if the order was not in Malta, hypothetically, Malta, or at least Valletta, the Grand Harbor, would still be French.
No.
Is that possible?
No, because Malta was not important. Excuse me. Malta was not important for traders. The route of trade passed either in Sicily or in North Africa. Malta was between the two. Mm-hmm. And it was the pragmatic sanction of Villena in 1723 who derived exactly those routes towards Malta.
To pass from here.
So, you know, Malta was not important economically in the 16th, 17th century. It became important when it was a free port.
It could have perhaps been a good French port eventually.
Yes.
Or a depot in some way, but not as important culturally at least.
No, not at all. But it was the same with the English, you know. The English wanted Malta because they lost Minorque, they lost Corsica,
exactly.
And they wanted Sicily. They
yes
couldn't have Sicily, yeah, so they took Malta.
Exactly.
As soon as they took Malta, so in at the beginning of the 19th century. So they had Gibraltar, Malta, and Corfu.
The trade
Corfu
posts
and Alexandria.
Exactly.
But it was very important for the navy at the time.
Yes.
But a few years after, it was the steam navy. So Malta was no longer important.
Again, it was the Suez Canal absolutely then that saved
absolutely
Malta at the end.
And Malta was no longer important, and Malta
yes
was only a coal depot and
and a base for the military.
Absolutely.
Until at least the Suez Canal, I would imagine,
yes,
then,
yeah,
because
yeah
the routes again passed through
and Cyprus became more important than Malta.
You mentioned the British, the English fleet is coming into the Mediterranean towards the last quarter of the 18th century,
they
more
began
or less.
Before. They
began before.
Yes.
I read also in your studies that the British, after losing Minorca and
yes
couldn't get other islands, they started eyeing Malta,
yes,
thinking that Malta could be a good base.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, were the French aware that the British had
oh, yes
eyes on Malta?
Yes.
And what were they doing? Did Bonaparte come to Malta because of that, for example?
No. And when the English began to have an eye on Malta, it was during Pinto Ruz. So at that time, the king wrote to the Grand Master, you know, they are Protestant, you are Catholic, so you don't have any Protestant in your island. So it was full stop.
Yes, keep them out.
Absolutely. At that time, the English preferred Algiers. They wanted to be present in Algiers, and so they didn't succeed, and they became present in Tripoli. So the consul in Tripoli was like the French ambassador in Malta. So Tripoli was an English port at the time.
This is the middle of the 18th century.
Yes,
so,
yes. So when Bonaparte came here, he didn't come because of the English, but because of the Russians. Because, you know, French were frightened to lose trade in the Western Basin because of the English,
yes,
and in the Eastern Basin because of the Russians.
That's right.
So they didn't want the Russians in Malta.
Right.
And Catherine II wanted Malta.
They had some agreement with the Grand Master, no?
They
at the end.
She tried to have. She tried
proposed.
To But at that time, why? Because she needed a base in Mediterranean to struggle against the Turks. But when she conquered Crimea and the Black Sea, she no longer needed Malta. But Paul I wanted Malta because of many reasons, yes. And it was the pretext that Bonaparte sized to invade Malta, the French Directorate.
Not to let the Russians in.
Absolutely, yes. But you know, for example, you have a hero, a very important hero, Don Michel Sherry, who attempted to catch away the French, but this hero was paid by Paul I. He was a spy, a Russian spy.
With Lorenzi, I would imagine.
With Guglielmo Lorenzi, to give Malta to the Russians, not and
so
we have a letter of Nelson.
So he died more because of Russia than of Malta.
Absolutely, we have a letter of Nelson. If they would have succeeded, they would have hoisted the Russian flag.
That settles the Don Michel Sherry heroship, unfortunately.
Yes.
There is another point, maybe one of the last points, about the Malta's image in France, in the intellectual, in the literary, and also because of the Grand Tour, perhaps, in the Malta became the antiquity shrine in the Mediterranean. It looks, when you read so many French writers mentioning Malta all the time, even coming to visit through the Grand Tour as well, you would think that also Barthélemy, who discovered the Punic language, it appears as if Malta became an attraction to French literary circles. Is this correct?
To fuel it, because they were very few. No, Malta is not very well known in France at that time. The Order of Malta, yes.
Yeah.
The knights, the French knights, were not very elegant towards Malta. So they wrote, for example, for the Maltese, they called the Maltese the Africans.
Mm-hmm.
So and
they degraded.
Yes, because you know
the people.
The Maltese society was living all around the Grand Harbour. They were speaking Italians, they were Italian-mannered or French-mannered, so they were belonging to the continent. And the Maltese were speaking
in
Maltese in the countryside. So, you know, at that time there was about 100,000 people living in Malta, and 80,000 were living in the Grand Port.
And speaking a language is more African
Arabic. Only 20,000 people were speaking.
One-fifth.
Okay. So they are not interested by those Africans. And it was a rocky island without shade, without nothing, so Malta was not interesting. And you're right, it's the beginning of the Grand Tour when some academics arrived in Pompeii or something like that. They came in Sicily and from Sicily to Malta.
Discovered Malta.
And they discovered the temples. And this was very important because at that time it was the beginning of the prehistorical science. Because till the end of the 18th century, it was forbidden by the church to say that somebody existed before Noah, because there was the diluvio. So
the creation.
So it was forbidden. But the philosophers say Bible is not an historical
text. Yes.
So you can say that somebody existed before
Adam and Eve.
So, you know, it was the beginning, and there were priests. One of the most important was the Abbé Petitradel, who came in Malta and wrote many things about the temples and so on. So he was the first, and he made models of the temples of Malta, and they were put in the Académie Française during years. And in the 60s of the last century, when I was a student at the time, the Académie Française sent those models in a museum of the Sorbonne. And in 68, the students used them as stones, and they disappeared like that.
Oh, that's a pity.
It's a pity, because it was
some nice.
Absolutely. It was. They were the model of what you could see in Malta of the temples of Ajahim, Gigantia.
And they had a whole story behind them, which shows that Malta, even with those few, was well known and sought after. And that's why people came to visit.
Absolutely. So you had, for example, who designed all the temples, but also the most famous French ruler who became a revolutionary and who came here and wrote letters to his young wife about the temples. It was the beginning of an interest for something else than the order. The beginning of an interest for Malta.
And actually a beginning of tourism at the end, because put the basis of an attraction. Malta.
He could have been more.
One last question about the refugees. When Bonaparte's government, so to speak, Vaubois, left Malta in 1800, most probably the pro-French community, most of them, not the businessmen who remained here, had to leave Malta.
Oh, they were expelled.
They were expelled.
Are totally, totally expelled.
In fact, you carry a whole list here.
Yes, yes, yes.
And where did these go mostly? What happened to them? Were they too many?
The richest one went where they wanted. But the poorest one were compelled to go in three French departments, Corsica, Var, and Bouches-du-Rhône. So that is Marseille, Toulon, and Corsica. And they received a treatment from the French government. So they became civil servant, judge, and so on. Maltese judges in Corsica at that time, or even in Marseille, and so on. And one of the most important was Vassali. Vassali planted cotton in the south of France for years.
He was like an expert for that region.
Absolutely. I published it, and it was translated in Maltese also. He succeeded in having about, I think, something like 35 kilos of cotton after 5 years of hard work, you know. So, and when Bonaparte, Napoleon, was expelled in Elba, it was finished for Vassali. Vassali went to Spain, then to France, and he came back in Malta.
In Malta, and quite poor at that. Yes. I know that you have many published books about the spirit we were talking about, and one of them is of Le Commerce des Oranges.
Translated into English.
Into English as well now. It's available in English. Obviously, this was part of the business that was going on amongst those families you mentioned. But you also published a book about the letters of Boyer.
Ah, yes.
What about Boyer? Did his letters somehow also show influences from France on
Boyer? Well, you know, we say in French, mauvais sujet. It's a bad boy, it's a naughty boy. He's a priest. He was very well known in France because he sold many things to the French people, and for example, he sold commanderies in Mississippi, so where the order was not. So people bought a lot of land. They didn't see anything, you know. So because in America at that time,
like fraud,
absolutely,
he was a fraudster.
Yes. So he was banished from France, and he arrived here in Malta. He kept on doing the same. He was in jail for about 5 years, you know. And at last he finished, because he became the secretary of Ompesh. He became very important. And to earn money, he wrote what we call lettres à la main. And they are only gossips. And he sold gossips like that to people, more to knights or bailiff living in France, to have news from Malta. Yes. So he wrote many things about the Grand Master Pinto, his private life.
It's like a sensational magazine.
Absolutely, yes. It's like tabloid, you know. Yes, as vulgar as a tabloid.
Dan il-programm interessanti biftit analizi b'intervista li tatina titwila l-ġowa u kol tar-ruħ li kien hemm Franċiża tħuf madwar il-Portana fi żminijiet l-aktar fis-seklu 18 imma tkellimna fuq is-sekli 16, 17, 18 u l-preżenza Franċiża fil-Mediterran. Nittama li dan it-tarif ikompli jimla l-kwadru u nittama wkoll li l-ġimgħa d-dieħla terġgħu tinnaqdu magħna għal intervista oħra din il-mixja tagħna San Fason. Sakemm nittaqgħu l-ġimgħa d-dieħla minħabba 10 xwieqek, nsemmukom.